Well, me favor, if you could put the phones away, give me undivided attention for next 20, 25 minutes or so. I just want to share a little bit of things I believe God's put on my heart for us tonight. And, you know, at first, tonight's topic may seem a little bit random. This is on, right?
No.
It is. Is it on? Yeah. It might seem a little bit random tonight, but Actually, as I thought about it, I thought, you know, this isn't really a random topic. This is one of those topics that I think is always relevant, that you can sort of drop in and talk about it at almost any time, especially in this day and age. And that's the topic I'm simply going to call the teenager and technology, meaning sort of the teenager and your phone, right? The teenager and social media, right? The teenager and how much time you spend with your face crammed in some device, whether it's your phone or, I don't know, some other device, and, you know, just sort of consuming and engaging a screen or some kind of digital media. That's what I want to talk about tonight. So here's what I want to do. First, I want to share an observation with you, all right? Share an observation. Then I want to share a concern with you. And then lastly, I just want to offer a challenge to you, okay? So simple talk tonight, an observation, a concern, and a challenge. So first of all, an observation. I don't know if you know this or not. Some of you might. Some of you kind of maybe are into these sorts of things. But there are now all kinds of studies that are being published in scientific journals, in medical journals, on cell phone use, and social media consumption, and the effect all of that is having on the human brain, right? There's tons of studies being published now, particularly on how the brain and brain chemistry is being altered by smartphone addiction. In fact, there's even an official term now for smartphone addiction that's being used in the scientific community. So this isn't just like a social media term. This is like a scientific term. This is what scientific journals are using a term. It's a term called nomophobia, that it describes people who now seem to have this inability to actually not be able to, they're incapable, unable, an inability to live without their phone. They've always got to have it, can't be without it. If it's not on, if it's not with them, they don't know how to operate. Now, one study in the UK concluded that roughly 66% of people in the United Kingdom have some form of nomophobia. Another study, which included a survey asking teens between the ages of 13 and 17 to describe their smartphone use from never, occasional, regular, or almost constantly. And 24% answered almost constantly. Another study, I think this was in Seoul, South Korea, found that teens who have smartphones were averaging 8 to 9 hours per day on their phone. Right, that's a full third of your day, right? 24 hours in a day, you're on it 8 to 9 hours a day. That's a third of your day. Texting, right, online, social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, something, you know, on your phone, doing some form or fashion of that, 8 to 9 hours a day, a third of your day. I was actually talking to a parent recently who was saying that for some teens they know, and this isn't just the parents saying this, this was teens saying this back to them, that they spend about 12 hours a day. Half of your day on this, doing this, half your day. And where some of these sort of scientific and medical studies are beginning to sound the alarm bells is that there's enough research now to show that your entire brain chemistry is actually being altered by this. And the result, especially among teens, is much higher rates, they are seeing, much higher rates of anxiety, depression, impulse control issues, sleep disorders. And what's more, is how some of this change in brain chemistry is actually destroying your ability to focus, right, on anything, right? It's actually creating people whose minds are so highly distracted and so highly distractible that they can't focus on anything, right? Because what you're actually doing with this, right, particularly those who just sort of have to have it all the time or always on it, always in it, 8 to 9 hours a day, constantly scrolling, constantly on it, you're training your brain, right? You're training yourself to process life in these quick little 30-second sound bites, right? TikTok, 30 seconds. YouTube, right? 30 seconds, a minute, right? And it's one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, 30 seconds, a minute, right? Or you're just scrolling, image after image after image after image, not able to focus, just one sort of image, and every alert, right? Every ding, every notification, every little sound coming in your phone, training you to break concentration, right? From whatever it is you're trying to focus on, the ding goes off, the notification goes off, and there you are, you're back on it. What's happening? I gotta see, right? It's creating this sense of urgency among people, right? That the next, you know, the next sound bite, the next image, the next scroll, the next notification, as if somehow it needs your immediate attention right now. And it's beginning to affect people. Like how their brains work, how you just operate, how you process life. It's beginning to have literal physical consequences. But here's one of the primary things that I've observed. Okay, here's where my observation sort of comes in on all of this. That this little thing right here, here's my sort of general observation. That this thing right here, right, that despite the fact that it allows you to be constantly connected to the world and to each other all the time, it's there's sort of this constant connection, my observation is that you're actually becoming less capable of actually knowing how to actually connect with people. Right? Supposedly, I can connect with anybody, anytime, anywhere. But my observation is that this is actually training you to be less capable of knowing how to actually connect with real people in real life right in front of you. That it has a way of producing sort of this sense or this illusion of being connected. Right? This illusion of relationship, this illusion of community, this illusion of friendship, that it gives you a sense of that without the real thing. Right? Without any real substance or without any real depth. Just sort of this facade or this illusion that despite being on these things all the time, that people don't know how to actually connect. They don't know how to actually relate. Or they don't know how to actually communicate and actually develop deep, meaningful friendships with the people right around them, right? Case in point. You've probably noticed, I'm sure you have, you've probably observed, I've observed, I'm sure you've observed, right, where a group of people are gathered together, and maybe it's a group of friends, maybe it's a family out for dinner, and you're sort of watching, and I guess they're together, they're supposed to be hanging out, right, they're supposed to be spending time together, they're supposed to be connecting with one another, but what do you observe? Nobody's talking to each other, right, right, there's no meaningful interaction happening between those people. Why? Everybody's on their phone. I think we're in danger of raising a generation that no longer knows how to have real, meaningful, genuine, undistracted, heart-to-heart, face-to-face conversation and relationship and interaction, and connectivity, and friendship with the people that God has placed right in front of us. So because we're all doing this, right, all the time, because we're all doing that, we're not learning how to love the people that are right around. We're not learning how to connect with the people that are right there. Right? We're not learning how to take an interest in the person right in front of us. Right? We're not learning how to be a real friend to the real person who's right there. Right? We're not learning how to draw one another out. Right? We're not learning how to actually talk to each other and listen to each other, right? And to do so with undivided, undistracted attention in a way that says, hey, you know what? You're the most important thing because you're right here in front of me. I want to listen to you and I want to talk to you and I want to connect with you and I want to do that in a way that says, hey, you really matter and I really care about you. We're not learning how to do that, right? We're not learning how to really share our lives with one another because we're all doing this. Right? We're not learning how to do what the Bible calls fellowship. Right, which is absolutely crucial to Christian maturity and the Christian walk, right? Where we're learning how to talk to each other about the things of God. Right? And connect with each other, or the things God's doing in our lives, the things God's teaching us, or the things we're learning from the scriptures, the things God's showing us from his word. Right? We're not sharing with each other how we're trying to grow in our walk with Jesus and spurring one another on and encouraging each other in our faith like Hebrews 10:24 calls us to. Right, guys, how are we going to do any of that? How are we going to fellowship? How are we going to connect with each other over the things of the Lord? Well, we're also busy just doing this. Right? We're not. And then if we're always doing this, then we're not positioning ourselves to mature as God has called us to. Right? Because we mature when we learn how to have fellowship. When we connect with one another in meaningful ways, right, where we can speak into each other's lives, and then these undistracted, right, God-centered, heart-to-heart, face-to-face, person-to-person conversation and meaningful time with the people that's God has put in our lives, without this constantly robbing us and distracting us from the actual experience of being able to do that with each other. That's my observation about this thing right here. That all of the distraction that comes with this, that it's sort of creating an illusion of connectivity and relationship and friendship. But it's robbing us of the real thing. It's robbing us of depth. It's robbing us of substance because it's constantly distracting us. Right? So that's sort of my observation. It's like, okay, yeah, I get all the studies. I guess there's some science now coming out about this thing. But my observation is, man, I just think people no longer know how to really relate to this thing. Promises connectivity, and yet it's keeping us from actually connecting. Now let me transition to how I think that sort of issue, right, contributes to what my greatest concern overall is about all of this, which is point number two. And my greatest concern is not what you might think, what some of you might think. My greatest concern is not the fact that you can access hell with this thing. Right? You certainly can. Like the amount of garbage that you can access on this very, very easily. I once heard somebody say that your smartphone has created a portal to hell that you can carry in your pocket. And while I think that's true, and I think that is definitely a concern, it's actually not my greatest concern. I think my main concern, the more I've thought about this, just for everybody in general, isn't so much that this is a portal to hell, but rather it's a black hole to narcissism. It's a black hole to narcissism. In fact, you hear that sound right there? Hear that sound? that sucking wind? That's the sound of this thing right here sucking you into a black hole, right? Of vain, self-focused, self-absorbed, self-obsessed narcissism. And if you don't know what that word means, narcissism is just a fancy word for the idolatry of self. Right? It's just a fancy word for self-worship. I was talking to one of my daughters recently about Instagram. And this is not an Instagram rant, because I think you can use Instagram in a way that's fine and good and meaningful and not fall into the trap of everything that I'm about to talk about. Yeah, I think you can. So this isn't an anti-Instagram rant. But I said to my daughter, I said, here's my warning to you, though, about Instagram and why I'm not sure that's really a road we want to go down right now. My warning to you is this, that so much of what happens on Instagram is about the worship of self. That there is this vanity to it, this idolatry of self-worship to it. Right? It's the look at me syndrome, right? Where you are just like a black hole. You're sort of sucked into this world of self-absorbed, self-focused, self-obsession. Right? It trains you. Right? There is a training that is happening to become preoccupied with yourself. I think there's sort of an anecdotal proof to this. This isn't like, oh, here's the evidence, or here's the proof. This is sort of just anecdotal that I think this is happening. Just a few years ago, the Oxford English Dictionary added to its official lexicon of words. In fact, this happened to be the word of the year. Apparently that's something the Oxford English Dictionary does. It's a thing, they do a word of the year sort of thing, and it, every year it releases a word of the year. So way back in 2014, right, just a few years after Instagram had come out, anybody want to guess what the word of the year was that year? You could probably do it.
Instagram.
No. No. Good. Any other guesses? Word of the year, 2014.
Hashtag.
No.
Selfie.
That's right. Word of the year was selfie. Now, listen, I'm not saying that every selfie taken and every selfie posted online is a bad thing. Right? It's not. I'm not saying every time you do it, it's a narcissistic thing. It's not. Or that you should never do it. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this, right? Let's just hear me out. That the cultural phenomenon, right, that this thing would be elevated to the word of the year, right, this proliferation and this seeming obsession with selfies, I do think it is symptomatic of something, right? I think it's symptomatic of the way technology can be used and social media can be used to worship self. And so when my daughter and I were talking about Instagram, I just warned her. I said, babe, as soon as you enter that world, you need to be consciously aware, right? Do not go in blind. Do not go in dumb. Just be aware. So much of what you are going to encounter there, so much of what you are going to see there, sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's not so subtle, is people simply worshiping themselves and, honestly, wanting other people to worship them too. Right? To worship their looks, to worship their image, to worship their bodies, to worship their lifestyle, to worship the things that they have. And if you go in blind and you're not aware of that, and you're not discerning, and you're not on guard, I promise you, it will suck you in. And the temptation will be, right? You will experience a temptation to become self-focused, to be self-absorbed, to be just so preoccupied. It will, if you're not aware and you're not on guard and you're not discerning, it will feed this vain, narcissistic hunger and craving. It will feed it. Right? What are people thinking about me? Would they like this post? Would they like this picture? Do they think it's cute? Do they think I'm pretty? Will they be impressed? Will they think I'm funny? Will they think I'm interesting? Will they think I'm entertaining? Will this get likes? Will this get comments? And before you know it, right, Instagram or other things like it, it could be Facebook, you know, whatever, but those sort of social media platforms, they become temples where you go to worship, right? The idol of self, right? And they also become temples that you hope other people go to worship you too, where they see your pictures, they see your posts, and you hope they think that you're just as great, as wonderful as you think you are, right? And so this thing right here, my greatest concern about this is that it tempts you to love and worship other things more than the Lord Jesus. It sucks you into a black hole of vanity and meaninglessness and emptiness, right? It sucks you into the fading beauty and glory of this world in a way that hardens your heart to the unfading, everlasting, true beauty of the Lord, the true joy of the Lord, right? And so whenever I see teens, or honestly, it doesn't even have to be teens, I see people with their faces buried in the phone, I just think, man, maybe they've gone to the temple to worship. Just my concern. So let me end with a challenge, right? This is my challenge, point number three. What this thing right here, my fear is doing to some of us is that it's training us so that you can't even pray and you can't even read your Bible for more than 5 minutes without being sucked back into this thing. You just feel that constant pull, right? Where your first impulse in the morning is, I gotta get back on my phone, I gotta check my phone. Right, or as soon as you have a break in the day, or just sort of that moment of pause in the day, gotta check my phone, gotta get back on the phone. Right? And so it's robbing you to be able to focus on what truly matters. Okay? It's robbing you. You're losing the ability to focus on what truly matters. Right? Jesus said in Matthew 6 to seek first the kingdom of God. and his righteousness, right? You got people, Jesus, you got people running around worried about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to wear, right? Today, you got people worried about, you know, what's the latest notification, who's texting who, right? What am I missing on Instagram? Jesus said, don't worry about those things. The pagans aren't after those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, give your heart and your mind to that which truly matters. So here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is to give your heart and your mind to what truly matters, which might mean for some of you, put your phone away. Right? Just go on some kind of intentional, purposeful phone, social media, technology fast, right? Or just some kind of intentional break, right? Where you're purposefully limiting, right, when and how you're on this thing. You know, maybe for you, it's, hey, you don't get on this until a certain time of the day, right? Or maybe what happens is that when a certain time of the day rolls around, you put it away, you put it in a basket, you walk away from it, and that's it for the day. Right, but there's some kind of intentionality to this, right? Some kind of purposeful break, right? Some fast, but and maybe you think that's crazy. And, you know, I always sort of wonder. I was like, I start these little talks and say, all right, guys, 25 minutes, put your phones away. I just wonder how many people out there think, man, that's crazy. Was he put this thing away for 25 minutes? Was he nuts? But that's my challenge. That's my challenge, right? Go on a phone, social media, technology, fast. Why? Why? Don't miss the why. Why? So that you can seek first the kingdom of God and focus on what truly matters, which is, one, your relationship with God, right? So you can read and pray and study the scriptures and meet with God in an undistracted way. You just read through the Psalms. It always amazes me. You read through the Psalms and you see how frequently the Psalms talk about thinking deeply, right? Meditating on the things of God, right? Who he is, what he's done, his word, his truth, right? But I think we're in danger of having no idea what it means to do that when we're constantly distracted by this. I don't know how to think deeply. I don't know how to sit still. I don't know how to meditate on the things of God. I don't know how to focus on his word because I'm always distracted. But if you're always distracted, you're not going to grow. You can't mature. You can't meet with God. You can't grow deeper in intimacy with him. You can't hear his voice. So it matters, right? My challenge to you, hey, take a break from this so that you can meet with God. And then my challenge is not only, hey, put this away so that not only you can meet with God and grow in your relationship with him, but put this away so that you can actually focus on your relationship with each other. When you're with each other, right? And you're not distracted by that. Right, so that when you're together, you can really talk. Right? You can learn. I understand this is a learned thing. It doesn't always come easy, especially when you're a team, but to learn how to draw each other out, to listen to each other, right? To care about each other, to have fellowship together where you can talk about, hey, this is what God's doing in my life. What's he teaching you? You know, where are you struggling? Where are you having a hard time? Where how can I pray for you? Where can I encourage you? And we're just learning how to talk on that level without being distracted by this. Because I can tell you this, there's nothing on this that will ever be as meaningful or beneficial as meeting with God, growing in your relationship with him, and actually growing in your relationship with one another. Where, you know, my brother's got my back. My sister's got my back. We know each other. We're connecting on a deep level. We're connecting over spiritual things because we're not constantly robbing each other of that experience because we're so distracted by this. Right? So that's my challenge to you. Tonight, I'm going to post a couple things in the 116 little group thing on the Realm. I read an article this week. It was on the Desiring God website about some of this. I thought it was a decent read. And then also there are two books that have, one's an older one that came out a few years ago called The Tech Wise Family. That I would recommend. And then there's a new one coming out, and I thought I would be able to remember the name by memory, but I don't remember off the top of my head. But it's a whole, it's brand new, and it's sort of about this whole topic, this whole issue too. So I'll post the article because I think most of you can read an article. but if you really want to do a little bit of a deeper dive, there's a couple good books. Just you want some resources. So Father, I just pray that whatever is of you tonight, Father, whatever is
is your heart for each person here. I pray that your spirit would allow that to be heard. And Father, whatever is it, that it be just sort of like water off a duck's back. But Lord, whatever's from you, let it land, let it resonate, may your spirit cause it to be grab hold of it in the hearts of everyone here. And Father, I do pray that where we're distracted, Father, where we've been lulled to sleep, I just pray you would wake us up out of that. I pray that there would be this an awakening of faith that and it's hard, Lord, because it's such a black hole, Lord, but wherever that pool of whatever's on my phone is better, whatever on my phone is urgent, Lord, I pray wherever there's that pool and that sort of way of thinking, I just pray that you'd break that spell, and that we would know your love is better than life. A day in your presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. There's all kinds of promises like that in your word, like that to draw close to you, to know you in deeper and more intimate ways. It's better than everything else on earth. So wherever we're distracted from being able to do that, because of the way we're using tech, I just pray that you would just grant grace. I pray where there needs to be a break or just some meaningful, purposeful limiting of how we're doing things. I pray that you would guide, give wisdom. But Lord, I pray in the days ahead that there would be an ability to sort of break the spell of the phone, break the spell of social media, that we could just draw close to you, draw close to one another, that we would pursue you and we pursue each other in a way that's meaningful, in a way that we just we taste the greater joys of what's ours in Christ, and that the pool of this world would be broken and we would see your beauty, that we would know it, and that our hearts would be satisfied in it. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.